Let's pray and ask God for his help. Let's look at his word. Father God, thank you that you do speak to us, that you speak to us personally and into our hearts. And I pray now as we look at this part of John 17, please may you open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word, and pray help us to listen and obey and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in the year 2000, there was a group of scientists or journalists from an American magazine called Improbable Research, and they wanted to set a test to see what the limits of the American Postal Service were. And so they got a whole bunch of crazy objects and items, and they didn't wrap them up or package them or put them in envelopes or anything like that. All they did was get these items and attach some stamps, the correct postage for that weight, and an address. And they attached the address and the stamps and posted them to see what would get delivered successfully. And so the things that they sent which were delivered successfully were a $20 note, a football, a rose, so just attached the name and address to a rose and it got through in the post, a ski, can you imagine, a big long ski, a fresh green coconut that got delivered successfully, and even a large wheel of cheese. Managed to send all these things through the American Post and they got delivered successfully. They're a bit surprised they got through. So you can try that with the Aussie Postal Service. See what strange and random things you can post that will get delivered successfully. But there were some things that they tried to send which didn't get sent, didn't get delivered. So, for example, a can of soup that didn't get through. A brick, it's probably not too surprising, a bit heavy for the postman. A lemon. And a bag of kitty litter. So those things didn't get through successfully, which is probably not too surprising, really. Now, some of those funny things they got, they sent through the post, some of them were successful, they were delivered, and it was fine. Other things they never saw again and never knew what happened to them. And I wonder if that's a little bit of how we think of missionaries sometimes. There's some crazy, funny people who we send to the other side of the world. Sometimes we hear about them, where they went and what they're doing. Other missionaries, we don't know what happened to them, if they've successfully got to where they wanted to go to and, you know, what they're doing. We might get an occasional prayer letter, might pray for them randomly, but sometimes you don't really know what they're doing the other side of the world or what's going on. Is that what mission is all about? You know, a few people go overseas on mission, but the most of us, we stay here at home and we pay, we pray, and we send them on their way. Well, today I want to think about mission, and specifically about the idea of sending. This is why we had that discussion question before. The idea of being sent into the world is a massive theme in John's Gospel, and right here we'll see that in John 17 as well. So why do we bother with mission? You know, why is mission so important? That's our question today, and we're going to see some answers to that question in John 17, in Jesus' prayer. So I want to argue today that mission is vitally important because God is a missionary God. Mission is at the very heart and identity of who God is and what he does. And we're going to see this in three ways from John 17. And so firstly, mission is important because God sent Jesus on mission into the world. Mission's important because God sent Jesus on mission into the world. You know, we've just had Christmas, and Christmas basically is a celebration of God's mission. He sent Jesus into our world to be born as a baby, to be Emmanuel, God with us. He's Jesus, he saves us. So Christmas is all about God's mission into the world to save us. And if he didn't do that, then we wouldn't have any, we'd still be under God's judgment, under his wrath. We'd have no forgiveness for sins. We'd still be deserving his punishment. We'd have no hope, no saviour. I've got a grandmother back in England. She's 99 years old, and she's been pretty fit and strong, but now she's getting pretty weak and frail. She's in hospital. But I think she'll hang in there until March. I think she'll just keep going until her birthday in March. And that's because on her 100th birthday, you know what happens when you're 100? You get a birthday card from the Queen. And she's always been really excited about getting a personally signed card from the Queen of England. I think she'll hang in there until she gets that. And you can imagine my grandma on her 100th birthday, imagine getting the mail and opening up the card and you see a personal card like for her, signed by the Queen. How special, how honoured, how blessed and important she'd feel, I think. And in a similar way, we should feel special and blessed and honoured, not because God sends us a card, but he sends us his own son, Jesus. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, into the world to save us. And so we too should feel honoured and special and privileged that the King of Kings would want to know us personally. And as you read Jesus' prayer here, or John's Gospel, you see Jesus was very aware that he was sent by God the Father on a mission to save us. And you can see that here in John 17. Now Jesus, he's praying with his disciples, he's in the upper room in Jerusalem. It's the night of his arrest, the day before his crucifixion. This is a very climactic moment. Everything is coming to a head right now. So we're getting right to the heart of why Jesus was sent into the world. And six times in this prayer, if you read through it, six times Jesus refers to himself as being sent by God the Father. If you have a Bible, you can just see verse 3, verse 8, verse 18, verse 21, verse 23, verse 25. So again and again, Jesus was saying, he's sent by God the Father. And just to pick one of those verses, verse 18, Jesus prayed, "They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me." And if you read for the whole of John's Gospel, you'll see about 60 times this idea of being sent is referred to. It's a major theme in John's Gospel. So why did Jesus make such a big deal about being sent by God? Well, he made a big deal about it because our eternal destiny depends on whether or not we believe Jesus was sent by God. If I don't think Jesus was sent by God, but just a good man, a good teacher from Nazareth who lived and died, if I believe he's just from a place called Nazareth, then I'll miss out on eternal life. But if I believe that Jesus was sent by God from heaven into our world, then I'm promised a place in heaven for eternity. In verse 3, Jesus said, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's how we get eternal life, by believing Jesus was sent by God. So God's a missionary God, and his mission to save us is right at the heart of his nature, his desire, his identity. And so mission should therefore be right at the centre of our heart and identity and desire as his people, as the church. Mission isn't just what some people do off in Africa or South America or Asia or Europe. It's not even just a part of our church strategy. Mission is at the core of who we are as the people of God. It's part of our DNA. And so here's a test. If God is a missionary God, then our level of commitment to mission, both individually and as a church, will be a measure of how godly we are, of how godlike we are. What does the amount of money we budget for mission this year, personally and as a church, what does that reveal about our commitment to God's mission in the world? Do we give just the bare minimum? It's not that important. Or do we make it a top priority? Because God is a missionary God. In our Bible teaching and sermons, in Sunday school and youth group and home groups, you know, can you make it a regular thing to talk about mission? Maybe once a year, do a series or something to keep reminding ourselves that mission is a top priority for God. And I know you're a new church here, but wouldn't it be great to have a mission strategy or a mission committee or something like that, which can help you as a church to see how you can serve God globally and be a part of God's mission to every nation. I really recommend reading this book by one of my lecturers at SMBC called Becoming Global. It's a very practical book about how you can help your church be more globally focused. And it's very easy to read and practical, so I'd really recommend that book. So why is mission important? Well, firstly, mission is important because God is a missionary God. He sent Jesus into the world to save us. Well, secondly, mission is important because Jesus sends us on mission into the world. Jesus sends us all into the world on mission. If you look at verse 18, Jesus prayed to the Father, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So Jesus wanted his disciples to continue to carry on his mission by going into every nation and sharing the gospel. And do you see here how Jesus puts everybody into two categories of people? So all of us fit into one of these categories. So you see there's the Jesus people, verse 6, those whom God gave to Jesus out of the world. And secondly, there's the world. That's it. Those who belong to Jesus and the world. We're all in one of those categories. And the first group, the Jesus people, are sent to the second group, the world. So there are no limitations on where they're sent. There's no restrictions on who should go. It's all of us. And Jesus didn't just pray for those physically with him in the upper room there. When he prayed here, look at verse 20. He said, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." So that's you, that's me, that's every believer in the world. So that means every single one of us are called to go into the world and to preach Christ, to share our faith. And if you read just a few chapters on in John, you know, Jesus has died and he rose again and he comes to his disciples and he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." So I wonder if you've ever had the if you ever wondered if you've had the call to mission, if you ever felt called to go overseas or do cross-culture work. Well, I want to tell you that you have. If you have wondered, then you have. All of us have been called by Jesus to go into the world to be a missionary, to proclaim Christ. Just a few weeks ago, Carol and I and Toby had our commissioning service at our church in Marrickville. And it was a really special time. Lots of family and friends came to church on Sunday and they prayed for us, they laid hands on us and formally sending us off to go to Spain to do church planting. So we felt very honoured and special and blessed, but we also felt a bit awkward really, a bit embarrassed because actually we're no different to anyone else. You know, we're about to jump on a plane and go to the other side of the world, but what we're going to do in Spain is in a way no different to what you're doing here, right here in Sydney, in your church or in your office, in your school, your university, or the social groups you hang out with. We all have the same task. We're all called to be missionaries and to go and share our faith, to testify. We're all commissioned by Jesus. Now, it might be that God does want some of you at some point to go share the gospel cross-culturally in another nation or even here. And so we all need to be open to that and pray about that. Now, you might think, or maybe your parents might think, or your grandparents even, "I'm too old for mission. I couldn't go overseas and do mission work." But do you see here, Jesus doesn't make any age distinctions here. He says all disciples, all go into the world. And actually, I've been told that people aged between 55 and 65 are now one of the biggest age groups for missionary candidates in terms of people going overseas. And actually, there are many cultures where if you have grey hair, then that's a sign of wisdom and it can get you opportunities to be, you know, to teach and to share and preach. You know, I was on a short-term mission once to Cuba. And as a few years ago, I was back in my 20s then, and most of the team, we were all in our 20s, pretty young. But there was one member of the church who came along, he was 73. Now, he did have trouble getting some travel insurance, it's a bit difficult for him, but he got it, and he came along, and afterwards he said it was the best time of his life. He said, "I've never felt so alive in my life before." And actually, I heard he went a few years later on his own, but with another guy from the church who was in his late 80s. So 73-year-old and a guy in his 80s. They went back to Cuba and they're giving out Gideon's Bibles to people over there. So you're never too old. Now, some of us might say, oh, we've got plenty of opportunities right here in Sydney. And that's true. We do have opportunities right here. We don't, you know, might think, oh, we don't need to go overseas. But we shouldn't let that be an excuse to not go. God's mission is global. And so ours should be too. So you have a responsibility for your area here, your suburb, your parish. But you also have responsibility for global outreach. And your elder, your minister, he's got responsibility for you, his congregation, but he also has responsibility for the world, for the nations. So it'd be exciting to think for you guys, how can you extend your ministry to another part of the world, to another nation? How can you multiply what you're doing and bless other people? So mission is important because, firstly, God sent Jesus on mission. And secondly, because Jesus sends us on mission into the world. Well, lastly, mission is important because God sent the Holy Spirit to equip and empower us to go into the world to do mission. God sent the Holy Spirit to equip us and empower us to go into the world on mission. And I'm just going to jump back a bit here to chapters 14 and 16, where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. And after Jesus rose from the dead and he was risen, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to send us out. And he's the one who equips us and empowers us. Even though we feel weak and we can't do anything, he's the one who empowers us. And as Jesus said here, the world is a threatening place. Jesus said the world will hate you because the world hated him. We can forget that sometimes here in Australia. It's a very safe place to be generally. As a Christian, it's okay. We're not kind of in danger. But it is in some parts of the world life-threatening to be a believer. In Marrickville, we had a family from Iran walk into our church at Christmas time a few years ago, a Muslim family. But they came, they wanted to find out about Jesus. And so they met with our minister for a few months. And around Easter time, they became Christians, praise God. They put their faith and trust in Jesus, and we took them to Little Bay to get baptized, the whole family, parents and the two kids. And as we were baptizing them in the ocean there, lots of people on the beach were taking pictures because they're a bit intrigued with what was going on. But we actually had to ask someone to stop taking photos and to delete them even, because this family were so afraid that if these pictures got put on the internet, if people were family found out in Iran, then their lives would be at risk. So we had a bit of a hoo-ha trying to get this guy to delete the photos. And thankfully, his family have now been given refuge in Australia. Because if they went back to Iran as Christians, their lives would be in danger. And even for me and Carolyn and Toby, as we go to Spain, we need to be prepared for hostility. Evangelical Christians, so Christians like you and me, get treated very suspiciously. So if you were over there in Spain, well, we'll be treated as part of a cult, like a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon. And people will be very suspicious. They call evangelicals brainwashers, out to brainwash people. So it's going to be difficult. We'll face opposition. And when we feel threatened like that, it's easy to want to be together, to stick together. You know, I lived on campus at Bible College for 3 years, and it was a fantastic time. You know, living with other godly people, I had the best friends I've ever had at SNBC. Such a great community. It's safe, it's comfortable, it's friendly. But Jesus doesn't want us to live in a Christian ghetto, in a holy huddle. He wants us to go out into the world. So it's great that after 3 years at SNBC, lots of us are all scattered now, and we're all different parts of the world in Australia. Someone said the missionaries are like cow dung. If you pile them all up, they'll stink. But if you spread them out, they'll do a lot of good. And I think that's probably true for us as Christians. If we stick together in our church here in a holy huddle, yeah, we'll be inward looking and we'll stink. We'll be self-destructive. But if we spread out into the world where we work and where we live and our schools and universities, then we'll do good. We'll mingle with people and we'll share our faith. And just as Jesus didn't leave his disciples on their own, he doesn't leave us on our own like orphans in the world. So he sent the Holy Spirit to do three things. So firstly, the Holy Spirit was sent to live in us and be with us. Jesus said, chapter 14, verse 6, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So when you're back at work, in your office this week or next week, come in a couple of weeks, and you're confronted by colleagues who live in very ungodly lives or very critical of Jesus, then remember that they are your mission field and that you're not on your own. The Holy Spirit is with you, he's in you. And secondly, the Father sent the Holy Spirit to teach and remind us of everything that Jesus taught. Thinking here about chapter 14, verse 26. So if we want to be effective missionaries in the world, we've got to stick close to Jesus. We've got to remember what he said, read the scriptures and apply them to our lives. If we don't, then we won't be effective wherever we are. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit was sent to enable us to testify about Jesus. Jesus prays in chapter 15, verse 26, 27. He says the Holy Spirit will help us to testify. So when you feel stuck for words in your workplace, you feel a bit weak and intimidated, remember and pray the Holy Spirit will give you the right words to say, to share your faith. Toby and Carolyn and I all have our passports now. We're ready to go. Even Toby's got his little baby passport with his picture there, except he hasn't got a signature because he can't write yet. But he's ready to go, and I've got a British passport. So my British passport will enable us to go into Europe and to live and work in Spain without any visa requirements or no trouble. We can just have an open door to live and work and study in Spain. We have the freedom to be there. We won't ever be Spanish people, but we have the open door to go there and to minister. And in a similar way, as for all of us, as followers of Jesus, we're given a passport into the world. We're citizens of heaven, but God has given us a passport and he's stamped it with the Holy Spirit, who gives us the authority and the freedom and the right to go into the world, to live and work and study and to proclaim Christ as we do that. And the Spirit enables us to do that. So, why is mission important? Well, mission is important, is vitally important, because God is a missionary God. He sent Jesus on mission into the world. Jesus sends us all on mission into the world. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit equips us and empowers us to go out on mission into all the nations. And as I finish, I heard a story the other day about a missionary called James Calvert. He was sent out from Europe in 1838 to be a missionary to Fiji, to the cannibals of Fiji. Now I read that on the way to Fiji, he was sailing on his ship, the captain tried to persuade him to go back to Europe. He said to him, you'll lose your life and the lives of those with you if you go among such savages. And James Calvert replied, we died before we came here. I thought, wow, what a great attitude he had. James Calvert realized, actually, we've already died to Christ, died to ourselves. We now live for Jesus, and he's who we live and serve and preach in the world. And there will be many comforts and pleasures that will try to turn us back from God's mission, and even fear of the world. But we need to remember we've died to Christ, to ourselves, and we've been raised for a new life to serve him. And actually, this missionary, James Calvert, he lived in Fiji for 18 years. And he saw the king of Fiji come to faith in Christ. So what a privilege he had to see a nation transformed for Jesus. It makes me think of Carolyn's family even. Or, you know, around the same time in the late 1880s, some missionaries went to China to preach Christ. And they were sent to a small town in southeastern China, to Guangdong province. And this happened to be the place where Carolyn's great-great-great-grandparents were living. And so, praise God, they heard the gospel about Jesus in that province in China. And they came to faith in Jesus. And, you know, I'm pretty sure at that time the friends of these missionaries, the family, would have said, oh, don't go, it's too dangerous over there, it's unknown. But praise God they did, because Karen's family, for generations to come, have been worshipping Jesus ever since. And praise God, those missionaries and others who went to China transformed the nation. You know, 100 million Christians, people say now, in China. Thank God, praise God for sending them to China to preach the gospel and see people come to faith. Let me pray as I finish. Father God, we thank you that you are a missionary God. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus on mission to save us. We know, Lord, that without you, Jesus, we wouldn't be saved. We'd have no hope of eternal life. But we thank you that you came, you died, you rose again. And thank you that you give us the Holy Spirit and you send us out with his power and with his enabling to preach your name. Help us, Lord, as we go back to work and schools and get back to normal life later this month. Help us to go as missionaries to proclaim Christ, to testify about our faith and our hope in you. And may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.